Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, we had such a great time yesterday catching up with so many fellow veterans down in Missoula at the American Legion Post 27 for our special Veterans Day show. But, of course, it was Tuesday. And what do we normally do on Tuesday? Well, normally we have an incredibly great time because John Jackson, the Joker from X, joins us on the show. But don't worry, folks, I thought ahead. Okay, if we can't have the Joker on Tuesday, let's do an Unwoke Wednesday instead. John Jackson now with us. John, how you doing? Great to have you on the show.
Good morning. I am coming to you live from Ice Station Zebra here, high atop the Jackson Mountain here in western Montana.
Oh, you're at the cabin right now joining us, huh?
I am.
Hey, that's great. That's great. I should bring my gear. We should just go do the show from your cabin one of these days. That'd be a ton of fun. Do a little in-person show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that, can you imagine that, setting up the Montana Tents flag right here, you know, right off the deck?
Well, then people would know they'd zero in on your location, and then you might have to have some more security cameras posted up after that one. But it's funny that you meant, what was the name of your studio again? The Ice Caves or something like that? What did you describe it as?
Ice Station Zulu.
Okay, what's the reference there? There's a movie reference that I am not picking up here. So explain it to us, young.
Yeah, that's an old movie. I think that's the name of the movie. It's Ice Station Zebra, I believe is the name.
Oh, man, it sounds like an old James Bond movie or one of the In Like Flint movies. Did you ever watch those movies? They were like Austin Powers before Austin Powers.
Oh, those were going back. You're talking about going back to the 60s, man. That's from back in the day.
Yeah. You were already alive by then, though, weren't you?
Just barely. I had to catch those in reruns going into the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, but it was funny, you mentioned Ice Station Zulu. Now people are going to report you on the Ice Tracker app. So this was so funny. So the other day I was chatting with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal, and she was talking about how the ice is expanding on not only the South Pole, but on the North Pole as well. And somebody said, we should report that on the Ice Tracker, so all the leftist protesters will be shipped off to the North and South Pole to do their protests.
Well, it's over, and you heard. I mean, Bill Gates already said this is not an existential threat to humanity. It's over. And I said, call in all the troops. Game over.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what. It was really cool yesterday, John. I don't know if you heard it, but I was smoking and joking with two incredible Vietnam veterans. And one of the guys out of Missoula, he was a part of the Phoenix Project, did some cool, crazy stuff back in Vietnam back in the day. But he said, man, I really love that Joker. Oh, man, he's great. He just says it like it is. So that's why we love having you on the show here. You can jump in on the conversation this morning as well. By the way, 406-294-0970, the number for you, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Yeah, if whatever you want to call in and talk about, the phone lines are open for you. And then I'll check in with John here during the break to see what he wants to talk about. Because you know what's going to happen. Right, we're going to wrap up this show, and we will never talk about what John wanted to talk about. Squirrel, phone call.
It's November 12th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National French Dip Day. What exactly is a French dip? Well, it's a hot sandwich served with thin slices of beef or pork on French bread. The key to a good French dip is making certain the sandwich is served with a side of its own au jus and spicy mustard. You then dunk the sandwich into the drippings and munch away. The origins of the French dip date back to 1908 in downtown Los Angeles, where Cole's French dip is believed to have created the sandwich. Also on this date, in 1920, Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis is elected as the first commissioner of baseball. And in 1966, astronaut Buzz Aldrin takes the first space selfie, which is a picture of him performing duties in space during the Gemini program. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the man who invented Hot Wheel cars, the Chatty Cathy doll, and the Barbie doll, Jack Ryan, born in 1926. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
The phone's blowing up, but you're in the driver's seat. Ignore the buzz, keep your eyes on the street. No text back, no scroll, just let it wait. Attention on the road, that's the only way. Phone's blowing up, but you're in the driver's seat. Ignore the buzz, keep your eyes on the street. No text back, no scroll, just let it wait.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
5,000...
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm really glad I checked in with John during the break there. Sometimes I'll read other news stories or check in on X, see what's happening, check your messages on the Montana Talks app. But, yeah, I was chatting with John during the break there, and I said, hey, what should we talk about? What do you want to talk about? And he said, well, we got this Obamacare thing regarding the government shutdown. And then, yeah, what about that January 6th pipe bomber report from the Blaze? Did you cover that one? And, John, I'm so glad that you reminded me of that one. So this broke, I think it was over the weekend. You and I were both posting info on X about it. It was theblaze.com. That's Glenn Beck's outfit that broke this report. They're basically claiming that, and I forget the reporter's name. I really want to give him credit. John, hopefully you remember his name. If not, I'll find it on X here. But basically, they are claiming that they've got forensic evidence and several sources who are now confirming that the January 6th pipe bomber suspect is a former Capitol Police officer who was working for the CIA. Whoa, buddy, huh?
Yeah, that popped out. And they were teasing it for a few days ahead of time, but they were running it through their legal and making sure they were all on solid ground. And they finally released it, and they're saying, you know, her name is Shawnee Kirkhoff. She was a Capitol Police officer during January 6th. And then, oh, looky there, she got, not long after that, a job over with the spooks working some kind of security detail, right? Well, they claim she's the January 6th pipe bomber, and they match her with a 94% possibility rate of her walk, because they compare her walk with the walk of the pipe bomber, who's in a bunch of different videos, and she does have an unusual walk. Because she was a soccer player in college and had some kind of really nasty injury. And it, I tell you, this is Glenn Beck, okay? This is the Blaze and Glenn Beck. This is not some Twitter rando goof trying to get clicks. And you know, if they didn't have this right, they're going to get sued within an inch of their life. But they put it out there. Well, you read the report, Aaron, and I've read enough reports in my life. Nowhere in there does it say how they got to her name among the hundreds of thousands of possible suspects out there, right? So what does that tell you? They had a major, big-time, from-on-high source give them her name.
Well, and that's what you and I were talking about during the break, is I was like, you know, you would think that there would be several media sources, left, right, center, who would at least cover this and say, hey, the Blaze is making these accusations. The Blaze is making these claims. Because you and I were kind of chatting about this over the weekend. Man, if they got this wrong, holy cow, do they open themselves up to a massive lawsuit if this is inaccurate. But it's interesting. You would think there would at least be news stories saying, well, you know, the CIA is denying this. The FBI is denying it. The Trump administration is denying this. And instead, it's kind of like everybody is just simply staying quiet about this whole thing.
Yeah, and boy, that tells you, that speaks volumes right there, doesn't it? Hey, you can imagine if this was you and you're working some security job, say even with the spooks, and they finger you for this and you didn't do it, man, you would be getting your lawyers and having a press conference in front of the media and declaring your lawsuit against Glenn Beck and the Blaze and that reporter and all that, but it's all crickets.
Yeah, so the reporter, Steve Baker, there we go, I found his name, because I always want to give credit where credit's due, because the liberal media mob, they hate to give credit to people who actually break the news or things like that. But they like to pretend that they're the ones who did it after, you know, somebody else reported the same story 6 days earlier. So Steve Baker was the reporter. A forensic, and this is what the claim is here from The Blaze, a forensic analysis of a female former U.S. Capitol Police officer's gait is a 94 to 98% match to the unique stride of the long-sought January 6th pipe bomb suspect. So for folks who don't remember, John, basically January 6th, the Capitol riots. Look, we were reporting this story right on day one. We talked about how there were Antifa infiltrators that were going in trying to provoke the craziness. We reported on the fact that Nancy Pelosi and the mayor of D.C. rejected additional security like National Guard troops to be there that day. Nancy Pelosi was on camera basically admitting that she is responsible for the violence on January 6th. And but folks may not remember, there were pipe bombs that showed up in a couple of different locations on Capitol Hill, and everybody has just been outraged. How can you tell us that you have no idea who placed these pipe bombs? And that's why it looked like it sure seems like it was somebody who was in on the whole scam.
That's because that's exactly what it was. And these pipe bombs, they were inert, apparently. They were not actually ready to explode. They were fakes, duds. But it was plan B. It was plan B for these people. If they weren't able to incite that crowd to go into the Capitol, then this was going to be plan B. They were going to say, oh, look what Trump and his people did. They put bombs in front of the RNC and the DNC, and they're terrorists, and therefore we have to initiate this investigation.
Yeah, craziness. I tried to go find and see what the left is saying about this, and even Snopes, which is a liberal, a so-called fact-check organization, they're like, well, it's been unconfirmed. It hasn't been verified with any agencies, and we could not reach the claimed suspect either. It's like, oh, so nobody's saying nothing. Sometimes it's what they don't say that tells you a lot more than what they do say. All right, John, hold that thought. Quick break here on Montana Talks. What about Obamacare? And if it was so freaking affordable, why is it so unaffordable? That was a great point by Mike in Big Timber earlier.
Fox Sports Update.
The two teams who played in last season's NBA Finals are going in opposite directions. The reigning NBA champion Oklahoma City Thunder have a league best record of 11-1. The team OKC beat in the finals, the Indiana Pacers, are 1-10, tied for the worst record in the NBA. Last night, the Thunder scored a 126-102 win against the Warriors, 28 points and 11 assists for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The Pacers dropped to 0-6 on the road. They lost in Salt Lake City, peppered by the Jazz, 152-128. 152 points, the most by any team in the NBA this season. The Nuggets won their fifth game in a row, 122-108 against the Kings. Nikola Jokic with 35 points and 15 rebounds. Denver is 8-2. The 76ers beat the Celtics, 102-100. Knicks over the Grizzlies, 133-120 at Madison Square Garden. The Knicks are a perfect 7-0 at home this season. New York has won 5 in a row overall. The Nets lost at home to the Raptors, 119-109. Men's college basketball. Because legendary Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski was a cadet at West Point and played for the late Bobby Knight there, Duke had a game scheduled on Veterans Day versus Army at West Point. Mike Krzyzewski's former program, now coached by John Shire, nearly doubled the point total by Army Tuesday. Fourth-ranked Duke scored a 114-59 win. Fifth-ranked Arizona blasted Northern Arizona, 84-49. Sixth-ranked Michigan needed overtime to defeat Wake Forest, 85-84. Number 7 BYU, an 85-68 winner against Delaware. 12th-ranked Louisville topped number 9 Kentucky, 96-88. 10th-ranked Florida over Florida State by a basket, 78-76. Latest college football playoff rankings. Top 4 teams the same as last week. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Alabama. Then it's Georgia, Texas Tech, Ole Miss, Oregon, Notre Dame, Texas, Oklahoma, and BYU. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
5,000
from Mondakistan to the Flathead.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, the other topic that John was wanting to cover here this morning, so let's start there before we go into whatever other tangents we're going to get to. Plus, hey, definitely call into the show as well, 406-294-0970, or message us on the Montana Talks app. Obamacare, we'll talk more about the government shutdown later as well. But, John, what did you want to say regarding Obamacare? Or they call it the Affordable Care Act. And Mike in Big Denver made a great point. I was chatting with him earlier. He said, if it's so affordable, why is it not so affordable? Why is it so unaffordable? And even with all of these subsidies, it's getting worse. It's getting less affordable.
Are you copying me? I've had this Microsoft team things go haywire here. Do you copy?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's doing the thing that drives you crazy with computers and programs. It's doing the little circle thing like it's thinking, right?
Oh, man, that's the worst.
We were off there. Oh, yeah, that's the thing about the shutdown. The shutdown has put a microscope, a big giant spotlight on Obamacare and SNAP and the illegal alien benefits and all the stuff that I think the left would rather not have that big spotlight on. And you're seeing just how complete and utter disastrous failure Obamacare is. Now, don't get me wrong, from their side of the aisle, it's working exactly how they planned it. It was planned to be an absolute failure that was going to push the entire system into single payer. And that's what they're doing right now.
Yep.
They bailed the thing out in 2021, and now they want us to bail it out again. And the figures on this thing, you're talking, this is $40 billion a year, just straight up right to Obamacare. And the nasty secret nobody talks about is $125 billion out here we're shelling out to hospitals to prop up these hospitals every year that are classified as nonprofits. But what they are is just these mega corporations who perform and act just like for-profit private sector companies, but yet they don't pay taxes and they get all of our taxpayer money.
Yeah, exactly. So your point is spot on. So basically the Democrats created Obamacare to deliberately destroy the system, raise the price of insurance, raise up the price of health care, destroy health care options and opportunities and actual care that's delivered. We're seeing that play out. That's exactly what's happening. And just like John said, then they can say, oh, well, we tried to fix it. We tried to help. When they actually broke it, they ruined it. And by the way, their big government policies, even before Obamacare, were starting to wreak all this chaos in healthcare and in the insurance markets. So now they say, well, this is why we need more socialism. This is why we need more big government programs, even though government is the problem here. And to me, John, it is so analogous of what just happened in New York City, the Kami Mamdani. So what was the Kami Mamdani using to drive his way into the mayoral race? Well, aside from telling the Muslims that he wanted to have a Muslim takeover of New York City, aside from the fact that that non-native born New Yorkers are the ones that helped propel Mamdani into the mayor's office, affordability was his message, and the high prices, the high cost of everything in New York City was his message. Well, who was responsible for that? Who did that? It was the Joe Bidenflation. It was the invasion of illegal aliens that also came into New York City that drove up the price of everything and made everything so unaffordable. So, but that's what the Democrats do. They create the crisis and then they capitalize off the crisis.
Every single place you look, look at law enforcement and criminal justice. They have set about breaking that for the last 15 years, and then they turn around and say, look, gee whiz, it's broke. It doesn't work. Right? Look at energy and climate change. And they've spent the last 15 years doing that too, breaking that whole system. So now that your rates are higher and everybody's complaining, and then they turn around and tell the media and their idiot voters, look, it's broken. We have to have something better. It's amazing that people even listen to their nonsense. And nobody would if they didn't have the media in their pockets and a bunch of slack-jawed idiots as their voters.
So President Trump's Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, he was on, I think, was he on MSNBC? Let me go look at some of our ex posts that we pulled together here this morning. Yeah, he was on MSNBC. He was on Morning Schmo on MSNBC. Secretary Scott Bessent explains how cutting the deficit through tariffs can help fight inflation. He also just cooked MSNBC with regard to Argentina and the brilliant move, the brilliant currency swap move that Secretary Bessent and President Trump maneuvered with Argentina. But here is what Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent had to say about the big mess that Team Trump inherited.
I think what the president is frustrated by is the media narrative, because the media narrative, the 2021, 22, 23, and even 24 during the campaign was Americans don't know how good they have it. It's a vibe session. I still remember that word. And everyone from the New York Times to former Fed vice chair to Wall Street Journal even, they said it was a vibe session. And instead of owning the inflation, they just said the American people don't understand how they're feeling. And we came in, we inherited a mess, we have brought the inflation down. And Rob, there are two ways for curing affordability. There's bringing inflation down, because some of the prices we are going to be able to bring down. So energy prices, gasoline,
down quite a bit.
Four-year low. Mortgage rates, when the president was January 20th, when the president came in, 30-year mortgage, 7.08. Yesterday, 6.22. Yes. That's a huge move.
All right, that was Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. He was actually on Newsmax with that clip that we just shared there. Again, so that one via Newsmax coming from Rapid Response 47 on X. John, your response, your thoughts.
Bessent is that guy. He's that one guy in the Trump administration that just comes out very matter-of-factly and just very calm, cool, and collected, and just with the facts. You know, he comes with the receipts and nails these people. Did you see him do Georgie Snuffleupagus the other day? I mean,
That was great.
I mean,
that was classic.
He blasted. Oh my God! Because they're talking about the shutdown And Bessent says, you know, you guys, you know, called everybody, you called Republicans back in the 90s, you called them terrorists for shutting down the government, and you don't seem to have that view now. And Stephanopoulos says, well, that's not correct. That's rewriting history. And Bessent says, really? Because I read your book and I've got your quotes right here. Want to hear them?
Well, that's when Robert Reich, you know, wasn't he one of the characters in The Lord of the Rings? Wasn't he one of the hobbits? Labor Secretary Robert Reich back then. Yeah, so when he was describing how President Clinton and the Democrats in the 90s fought the Republicans on the government shutdowns, he said, we refused to budge, we refused to negotiate with them, and we repeatedly called them hostage takers, and that we were not going to cave to their hostage-taking demands. And then, yeah, George Stephanopoulos, now he's on his fake news media channel, and trying to trash the Republicans when it's the Democrats that shut down the government. And, yeah, Bessent used his own words against him. It was brilliant.
Isn't it amazing how everyone, we've talked about this before on your show, how every one of these Democrat men, you know, they're either, you know, 5'1" or they're a little, you know, Pete Buttigieg's little swishy boys. I mean, what the hell? Where do they get these guys from?
So the other thing he did you, I can't remember if you and I talked about it. So I know David Noble, and by the way, folks absolutely loved you and David Noble. I was joking last, well, not joking. Actually, I'm serious about it. We need to launch the Noble Jackson Show. People really enjoy it. They enjoy whenever you're on the show here with us, but they really enjoyed you and David Noble last week as well. So what a team you guys make also. But David and I were talking, you know, David Noble just got back from a trip to Argentina. So he was down there when the election was taking place, when this currency swap news came out. And he was talking about just the brilliance of what Treasury Secretary Bessent and President Trump did with this currency swap down in Argentina. It saved Argentina and Javier Milei, the great Trump of Argentina, during the election. And freedom is on the march across Latin America, in big part thanks to that. But on top of that, we, the people of the United States of America, made money off the deal as well.
Yeah, we absolutely made money off it. But that doesn't stop the Democrats and their flunkies in the media out here from just putting out that talking point that somehow we just gave $20 billion to Argentina, which, of course, is a lie. But all they do is lie. I mean, if you could say, put one stamp on everything, it's that all they do is lie. But yeah, David's awesome. I mean, he's got that legal, you know, just diamond sharp mind that he sees everything with. And last week we had a real problem with the phone, so he's calling me. He's, you know, he's like shouting up the bicycle, well, John, help me, help a brother out, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had a lot of fun.
Well, that was great, because yeah, it's like, okay, if the phone lines ain't working, hey man, bring in a sidekick, and you don't even need phone calls, man. You guys can just go back and forth. But David's also one of those guys, man. If anybody could do a 3-hour, 4-hour monologue, it's David Noble, because he's done it on Twitch TV. But yeah, thankfully the phone lines are up and running here and actually and back in the studio. They finally got some new equipment there, and so big thanks to our engineer who's been just doing a ton of work on the AM radio station tower site there for our Billings affiliate and things like that. So yeah, we had to call the cops on some of the transients and some of the gangbanger thugs that were you know, tatting the place up and more. All right, so I got one more Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent clip that I'm going to play for you here. He absolutely, John was talking about the fakers in the media. He destroyed MSNBC on this whole currency swap deal. Wait for that one next.
Clint here with Montana Talks. I'll tell you what, we get some great guests on the show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls, the chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I was too busy joking with John there coming out of the break. Yeah, John's like, all right, hold on. I got to pop out of this tech window now and hop back in. John, are you still sitting? Is Grandpa Jackson still sitting there with his readers on, looking over the rim of the glasses at the cell phone to see if he's got it all figured out yet? Are you doing okay there, buddy?
Well, you know, you remember, like Al Swearengen said in Deadwood, yes, it has fallen to this.
Oh, man. Oh, no, all in good fun. But, yeah, great to have you on the show. We are taking your phone calls here, 406-294-0970. I do want to play this audio of Treasury Secretary Bessent just destroying this guy on MSNBC over the Argentinian currency swap deal. But first, let's get right into the phone lines here. We've got, let's see, it looks like the mighty Human Z calling in from Michigan first up. Z, what's going on?
Great Lakes greetings, gentlemen. You know, my mother always say to me, before she tell me to leave the room, that I had a mind like a steel rat. I can never figure out what that meant, but here we go, because my mind's always at work. You know, I have a new nickname for Senator Rand Paul, and that is Senator Random Paul, because I can't understand how arbitrary this guy can be. Instead of spending time during the shutdown figuring out how to actually shut down Obamacare and help us, he wants to turn the considerable resources of the federal government to ban hemp. So therefore, the new slogan in 2026 is Senator Rand Paul on task for 2026. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, thank you, Senator Random Paul. That's a funny line there. Yeah, John, you've got an interesting take on this because some of us sit back and, you know, we've always liked Rand Paul and some of the things that he stood for, but it just kind of seems like he's just trying to be anti-Trump on a lot of things. It's like the in vogue thing to do or something.
I don't know what's in the water up there in Kentucky. We need to take a look at that, right? Because you got Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul, Massey is from up there. And, you know, particularly right now, you know, McConnell is just a Biden-level doddering old fool now. But you got Massey and Rand Paul who, they, I mean, don't get me wrong, they're the greatest conservative warriors out there right up until there's a Republican in the White House. And then they lose their minds and are voting against everything and voting down everything that Republican is trying to do. It's like they try to make their name with their voters as, you know, I'm the lone guy standing up against this, no matter what it is.
So what happened with hemp in the U.S. Senate? I didn't really follow that very closely, but it seemed like what most of the Republican senators were trying to do was they weren't outright banning cannabis farms or hemp, you know, things like that. But they were trying to rein in what's been going on with these crazy synthetics, you know, basically these lab manufactured, because we've seen a huge problem with these synthetics here in Montana where natural kratom is fine by and large, right? But it's this lab manufactured kratom that has led to overdose type deaths, basically. Same thing with marijuana. This is not your Arbor Day Kager Missoula marijuana. Sometimes it's 20 times more potent than that marijuana.
It was amazing to watch. Here we were right in the middle of, and we're still doing it, the longest shutdown in history. And the Senate had come up with a shaky deal that was going to barely just get to the 60 votes. But of course, the Democrats had to come up with an extra vote because Rand Paul on our side was voting no. And then Sunday night, he's mucking up the whole works. He's the lone guy in the Senate mucking up everything because he wants to have some kind of vote on hemp. Are you kidding me with this guy?
All right. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Let me quickly, before we get to our next caller, we'll get to John and Billings here in just a second. But here you go. This is Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. First, the MSNBC anchor throws the highly loaded question out there, and then Scott Bessent just roasts him over it.
How does a $20 billion bailout of Argentina help Americans? You're the president's point person on that. Can you explain to those here who are feeling the pinch, including America's farmers, why the United States is helping out Argentina?
Well, do you know what a swap line is?
It's currency swap, yes.
Yes, but what is that?
You're the Treasury Secretary.
Yes, but why would you call it a bailout?
Because that is how...
In most bailouts, you don't make money. The U.S. government made money. We used our financial balance sheet to stabilize the government. One of our great allies in Latin America, during an election, the president there won in a landslide. The government's going to make money. And I would rather use peace through economic strength than have to be shooting at narco boats coming offshore if the government collapsed.
All right. Anyway, yeah, what a great back and forth there. John, did you notice how the guy from MSNBC did not know the answer to the question? That's why he was like, well, you're the Treasury Secretary. He couldn't answer the question. He didn't even know what he was talking about.
Oh, absolutely. See, if that had been me, I would have done the Stephen Miller, because Stephen Miller does this to the reporters all the time, and Bessent had this guy and let him off. See, if that had been me, or say a guy like Stephen Miller, you just sit there and wait for the answer. Well, hey, Mr. Giorno, if you're so critical of it, explain to your audience what a currency swap is. Please tell us all your massive experience with this since you're so critical of the president's move here.
That would have been like...
I've seen Stephen Miller do it with these people, and they just sit there with their mouths open because he's got them. They come in there with their prepared talking points, and they have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. The dead air alarms would have been going off for the engineers there at MSNBC. Hey, are we off the air? No, we've just got another one of our dumbass liberal reporters that doesn't know what he's talking about, and Besson's waiting for him to give the answer. Par for the course, probably.
Our guys don't do that enough. They really don't do that enough. They need to just press forward with that stuff. When they get these biased questions, just say, well, you know, tell us your view on it. Why don't you tell us your solution?
Yeah, great point. All right, into the phone lines we go once again. Let's go to John in Billings, listening to KBUL. John, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Well, I have a son that works for the government and now has basically gotten a five-week paid vacation. And I think our Treasury Secretary, as brilliant as he is, should be able to add up how many workers have been, you know, furloughed, how much money they're actually having to pay them, and go to the Democrats and say, how do you plan to fix this? This is all the money that you spent by shutting the government down.
Yeah, great point.
Let the taxpayer know it.
Great point. Yeah, John, thanks for the call. John Jackson, your thoughts. I mean, that we've seen so many of these government shutdowns, so-called government shutdowns over the years, that I think most people knew exactly how it's going to play out. Okay, you're going to be sent home. But eventually you'll get paid and you'll get the back pay. So it ends up basically every time we have one of these, it turns into another basically paid vacation for a lot of people. Now, it does cause a lot of stress, especially on the young military families in the meantime, though.
Yeah, I worked through four or five of these things. I forgot how many it was. And that's exactly what happens. Everybody gets their back pay. Everybody's made whole. It's no big deal. What kills me is this stuff with the air traffic controllers and with TSA, you know, causing all this mayhem out there with the airlines. And see, those people are essential employees, meaning you are required to show up for work. I don't see how they were getting away with the sick outs and calling in sick. I remember they told us one time that if you were essential during a shutdown, if you even took sick leave or vacation time, they could then place you on furlough status, which means you can't come back in now until they say. I mean, it's some delicate stuff, and you never wanted to be in that position. I'm surprised that this is going on.
Yeah, because that's what was happening, right, is that a lot of the problems that were going on with the aviation industry was just some of these folks in the air traffic control just refused to show up, or they were coming up with ways to figure out not to show up for work in the middle of the Democrats' very own shutdown. And then even now, I think we're going to see continued problems even after the government gets fully back up and running. I mean, once you throw, you know, those kinks into the process here, what the Democrats have done for the longest government shutdown ever, I mean, there's second and third order effects that we're going to continue to see for days ahead, it sounds like.
Oh, it's awful. I mean, our entire airline industry is already 10 pounds of poop in a 5-pound bag. It's awful. It's way overcrowded. It's way mismanaged. So you just throw a banana peel in front of this operation, and it's mucked up for days.
And that big bag of Adam Schiff is sitting under the seat right in front of you, so your legs are cramped the entire time. But you just got to sit there and take a big old whiff of what the Senate Democrats are doing.
Oh, my God.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Remember, this all started out. They wanted a whopping $1.5 trillion in additional spending to keep the government open for a whopping 7 weeks. And that meant hundreds of millions in health care for illegals, to extend subsidies that they voted to be temporary. Democrats voted to be temporary for Obamacare during the pandemic, during COVID. They want to refund PBS and NPR and even included DEI programs for other countries. You know, and Mark Simone nailed it yesterday. You know, it's the Affordable Care Act. Well, if it's so damn affordable, well, why do you need subsidies? It's insane. And what's fascinating is there is real palpable rage.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
There's a reason I'm so proud of our partnership with Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, because they don't just talk the talk, they walk the walk when it comes to supporting our vets. It's a veteran-owned company. This month, Pure Talk is choosing to support Canines for Warriors. Now, this is an incredible organization that rescues and trains dogs, pairs them with veterans that are struggling, for example, with PTSD. Canines for Warriors gives these heroes a purpose. It gives them companionship and healing. That's exactly why Pure Talk, a veteran-led company, supports them. Now, choose a wireless company that shares your values. Remember, you're going to get unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, $25 a month. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You get the exact same service as the big carriers, same cell tower, same 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and make the switch. #250, keyword save now, switch today to America's wireless company, Pure Talk. Talk.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Cyndi Lauper has been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The legendary singer also performed an emotional tribute to the LGBTQ community with her song, True Colors. The Rock Hall also honored Outkast, Bad Company, Chubby Checker, Joe Cocker, Soundgarden, and more. 21 Pilots performed Seven Nation Army as a tribute to the White Stripes being inducted. Sound courtesy of Disney Plus. Salt-N-Pepa was also honored for musical influence and Carole Kaye for musical excellence, among others. You can stream the ceremony on Disney Plus, while a primetime shortened version will air on ABC New Year's Day. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
This Christmas.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right back into the phone lines here. Plus, John is going to stick around for the 9 o'clock hour of the show. So we'll take more of your phone calls, get more. We've got a lot more to talk about with John as well. First up on the phone lines here, I think we've got Mike in Bozeman. Mike, thanks for the call. What's on your mind this morning?
A little trivia regarding post-Vietnam era. I was over there. One of the later guys in from May of 71 till April of 72. out of curiosity here, about 3-4 years ago, I went online and got on the Google Maps or Google Earth. And just out of curiosity to see where I had been at Chulai on the coast, because I'd heard that the Soviets had taken over Chulai shortly after the United States left Vietnam. And I had to travel up and down the coast several times on Google Earth in order to finally see where Chulai was, and it was before I left there, the fall of 70, in October, we got hit by a hellacious typhoon that just 85% destroyed the base, based on what I heard. And the 23rd Infantry Division, which was based there, got pulled back stateside. But I only had 5.5 months time in country, and instead of 6 months, so I wasn't able to go home with the unit. So I had to go down to the southern part of Vietnam, to the Mekong Delta, then to finish out the second half of my tour. But as I go on the Google Earth, the only thing that I could find, finally, after about three or four trips up and down the coast, was 22 great big concrete aircraft. Can't even call them hangars. They were like Quonset huts, but had a foot of concrete on them.
Yeah.
And so what stood out to you? The Air Force was on that base using
what stood out to you?
F-4 Phantom.
So what stood out to you? What's the big takeaway on that? And sorry to rush it, but I got another caller.
It was overgrown and you couldn't see it.
Oh.
It was completely overgrown and couldn't see the area. And the only way I was able to spot it finally was these great big concrete
Quonset style.
They parked the F-4 Phantoms in.
Very interesting. I've done that from time to time over the years, too, looking at, like, Google Earth or whatever and going back over places in, you know, Iraq or Afghanistan that I was at as well. Yeah, kind of interesting with those tools now at our fingertips. Hey, thanks for your service. Thanks for calling in. Sorry I had to cut it a little bit short, but I want to sneak on at least one more caller here before we run out of time. I think we lost Tom in Bozeman, but, Tom, you can call back next hour of the show. I think Caden is going to send us Dave in Eureka. I'm going to try to sneak Dave on. Caden, if you can send me Dave, we'll get Dave on here before we wrap up the show. All right, there we go. Dave, what do you want to share? We got about 30 seconds to go, unfortunately.
Oh, hey, no problem. I just wanted to call in and say I support John Jackson's post about H-1B1 visas that disagree with Trump. We shouldn't bring in more engineers and qualified people until all our Americans are working.
All right. Appreciate that. John, quickly, your thoughts with about 20 seconds to go here.
Yeah, Trump is talking about these H-1Bs, and a lot of people are upset with that, and they see that. It's just more foreigners coming into this country that are going to take American jobs when we are already overrun with them right now.
Well, and President Trump has been defending foreign students, the high number of foreign students on the college campuses as well. I know he's been getting some pushback on that front, but he says that these colleges would go under without these foreign students, to which some are responding by saying, so look at what some of the Harvard, look at how they've harmed America.
When we're in the game, we tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out. Because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ed Council.